Active Christian Media Show. I am Stacey Lynn Harp, the host, and this is our second hour tonight. And, you know, I'm really glad that you're there because our second hour, first of all, let me just say again, that was Coach Dave Doppenmeyer, who was our guest for the first hour. And you can go to ptsalt.com, pastthesalt.com, in order to learn more about Dave. In this hour, our guest is Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmidt, who is going to be our guest. He is our guest. He's actually already on the line. And let me just go ahead and bring him in here, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Chaps about what he's up to. And if you don't know who he is, you need to know who he is, because he's on the front lines doing things for your religious freedom and ours, and his, of course, and so we should do that, as well as we do have a call on hold as well that we will get to in a minute. So let's bring Chaps into the show here. Hi, Chaps. How are you?
God bless you, Stacey, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name.
I knew you were going to say that, because that's what you always say.
Yeah, it gets me in trouble sometimes when I say that.
I know. You're such a troublemaker.
Well, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Yes. Do you mind if we take this call that we have on hold?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's see what this guy wants to talk about. All right, caller, you're on the air. Can you tell us your name?
Hello?
Yeah.
I was actually on hold from the last hour. My name's Joe. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you, Joe? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I actually had a topic to talk about the last conversation there, and I was on hold.
Is this the same guy that called before? Because it sure as heck sounds like it.
No, I didn't hear the last caller. I caught the end of the show. I was listening, but I didn't get to comment on it.
Okay, well, what's your comment? We'd love to hear it.
Well, I mean, as you know, I mean, he was my defensive coordinator, that Sandusky. This is Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset by the allegations against me.
All right, that was a clown, everybody. I just disconnected. You know, it's interesting because I've got three phone calls this hour, which is totally rare for this show. So when I see the same area code and the same thing, and the very first call that came in was, quote, a telemarketer. And plus, this guy sounds the same. So anyway, it's nice that you're out there listening and having fun. But I don't think homosexual pedophilia is anything to joke about. And the victims there, they don't need to be joked about either. So that's just sad that you're doing that. But thanks for the laugh. Okay, Chap, back to you. How are you doing? Well, first of all,
you've had a very entertaining first hour with Coach Dave Doppelmayer, a dear friend of mine. I've preached with him and traveled to conferences around the country where he has also spoke. And he's a hero for the faith who took a stand as a coach and as a teacher for religious freedom in the schools.
Yes, he did. And not only that, but he was, I don't know if you heard it, but he was just telling us about the personhood amendment that he was also trying to help, which I know that you've been actually working on a lot.
Yes, the personhood vote, if anyone doesn't know, was just taken in Mississippi. They had an amendment, 26, on the ballot for public initiative, and it lost about 55-45. But that amendment, had it passed, could have overturned Roe versus Wade and legalized, the 1973 decision, which legalized abortion. But this could have restored the right to life of the unborn by simply defining the word person as including unborn children from the moment of conception. So we came really close to overturning Roe versus Wade, at least in the state of Mississippi. But we'll have to, you know, go back at it again in 2 years and continue to educate the public on the rights of the unborn and when life begins, obviously, at conception.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And you know what? That's actually one of the things that he was talking about in regards to, you know, changing the wording, you know, and so when you're talking about life beginning at conception, it's versus versus a blob of tissue or a choice.
Or just embryo.
Or embryo, yeah, exactly. But you are an actual ardent pro-lifer. You have a lot of nerve, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Because I do too. I'm a pro-lifer as well. I believe in life, and I think the 180 DVD that Ray Comfort from Living Waters put out is an excellent witnessing tool, everybody, and you really should get it. If you haven't seen it yet, you can watch the whole thing over on YouTube. It's 33 minutes, I think, and stuff. So, but, chaps, you are renowned for praying in Jesus' name in your Navy uniform. And so people who, but if there's like one person who has never heard of you, which is very possible, can you just give us a little bit about your background and then share with us, bring us up to date on what's happening with you? Because I think this is totally inspirational and you need to talk about it.
Well, thank you so much. I was born and raised in Buffalo, New York. I was adopted when I was 3 years old. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm pro-life today, because I know that single moms out there have a tough time, and sometimes, you know, God redeems unwanted children. And God made something out of my life. He took a little throwaway boy and made sure he was adopted into a good Catholic family in Buffalo, New York. I was raised in the church, but I was not a good Christian. In my teenage years, I rebelled against the faith of my parents, the faith of my grandparents, and I was a drunk, I was a womanizer, but I had good grades. So thank God my parents helped me get into the Air Force Academy, where I was straightened out by some good military training. And I, as a freshman at the Air Force Academy, was converted to faith in Jesus Christ at a Pentecostal Bible study. And that was a life-changing experience. I argued with these people about the Bible. I said, that can't be true. But the voice of God confronted me and said, Gordon, you're no longer arguing with these people. Now you're arguing with me. And so I gave my life to Jesus Christ on December 13th, 1986. That's I was 18 years old. Now I'm 43 years old. So I guess that was several years ago. Let's not do the math, anybody. But when I became a Christian, my life completely changed. I gave up drunkenness. I gave up womanizing. I started reading the King James Bible, and I felt a calling to ministry. I actually quit college for 1 year to do missionary work. I became a missionary with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, in Seattle and all throughout Mexico. I eventually returned to the Air Force Academy and graduated. I was an Air Force officer for 11 years, and I wanted to become a chaplain. I was studying in ministry. I got my Master of Divinity degree. I graduated seminary. I took all the classes in Bible and Greek and Hebrew and everything you have to do to become a chaplain. But the Air Force had too many chaplains, or said I was too senior in rank. They didn't want me to apply as a Protestant, so they actually offered me a choice. If you want to stay as a missile officer, we'll give you a promotion to lieutenant colonel. We'll give you a job at the Pentagon. You can finish out your 20 years in the Air Force. But if you really want to be a chaplain, you got to quit the Air Force and join the Navy and take a demotion in rank and a pay cut from 04 major to 03 lieutenant, and then you can become a Navy chaplain. Well, I had a difficult choice. I had to decide, should I take the promotion or should I take the demotion? What would you do? Well, I decided to take a demotion and a pay cut. I volunteered for this, and I left the Air Force after 11 years, and I joined the Navy after 5 years. And I continued for 5 years as a Navy chaplain.
That's so cool. I didn't even know that about you. I mean, you are tight, aren't we? No.
What a decision, though. That's quite a decision to make.
Yeah, well, you know what, everybody, first let me tell you, I know chaps, you know, I work with them and do some stuff, but you know what's cool is, and I can actually say this, and I'm going to, and hopefully he won't get embarrassed, but I will tell you that he's one of the most generous people that I know, and one of the most kindest people that I know. and humble people too. I mean, he does so much that people don't know. And anyway, so, you know, with him, it's the real deal. So, and, you know, you actually should plug your website. That way people can go there and they can give you money, because they really should.
Well, support the cause.
Yeah, I mean, totally support the cause, because what you're doing is really good. And I'm surprised there's somebody that didn't think of it before you. But see, that's how brilliant you are. You thought of it first. So.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not in this for money, but if people want to sign up for our free newsletter, we'll give you a free newsletter every day electronically by email. Just sign up at our website, which is PrayInJesusName.org. Again, that's PrayInJesusName.org. And the website is named after the controversy, I suppose, that I found myself in as a Navy chaplain when I was told I was not allowed to PrayInJesusName.org. And so I guess I could explain a little bit about how my career as a Navy chaplain developed. I began at Naval Chaplain School. It's like going to boot camp all over again, but this time you get trained by the Marines. So it was a little bit exciting, I suppose. I loved everything about my Naval Chaplain training and boot camp, except the one thing I did not like were the mandatory lectures about how to water down your prayers. They issued a memo in the chaplain school, and they said, chaplains who pray publicly in Jesus' name are insensitive and incompetent, because people don't like to hear the word Jesus, and sometimes you might offend somebody if you say the word Jesus in public. Well, I wasn't really concerned about that. They said, you might not get promoted if you offend somebody by praying in Jesus' name. Said, not going to get promoted. Wait, maybe you don't realize who you're talking to. I'm the guy who took a demotion to become a chaplain in the first place. I don't care about rank. I don't care about money. You know, let me pray and preach in Jesus' name. So they said, okay, well, we warned you. And they sent me off to my first ship. Well, on my first ship, USS Anzio, I landed on, you know, it's funny. You take an airplane over to Rome, you take another airplane to Crete, you take a helicopter off the coast of Crete out into the Eastern Med. They put me on this cruiser, 300 men, about 30 officers. And here's this Air Force Academy graduate trying to get my sea legs out at sea. And 7 days later, that ship started launching Tomahawk missiles into Baghdad, Iraq. So welcome to the war, right? Operation Iraqi Freedom. This is in early 2003. Here I am, a wartime veteran, a non-combatant as a chaplain. But you know, my commanding officer and I had this running joke that when I was an Air Force missile officer sitting on nuclear warheads, I was never allowed to turn my key and launch my missiles. But here as a non-combatant chaplain of a ship, my commanding officer was allowed to turn his key and launch his missiles. So I finally got some wartime experience.
Huh. Wow, that sounds exciting, but scary at the same time. And yes, I can understand why you would have that joke.
Yeah.
That's ironic, you know. Definitely ironic.
It was a great time to be a chaplain because I was able to teach the Bible and I was able to pray with young sailors. It's the largest youth group in the world, a lot of 18 to 25-year-olds out at sea.
Good
and
point.
They need guidance. And they flock to the chaplain. We had standing room only at our Bible studies every night during Operation Iraqi Freedom. And the young men who go to war, they want to be right with God before they go to war.
I know. You know, that is so cool. And, you know, I know that, you know, Randall and I, we're getting ready to move to Tennessee, as some of you know, and going through my desk, Randall found a little Bible.